The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Tonight's video is from The Eagle Strikes. He also has a YouTube channel called Black Volumes. His information will be in the description box down below. Now let's get spooky. On a godforsaken sea stack, miles offshore, nobody heard my screams. I didn't aspire to being a lightkeeper. To this day and age, why would I? Ships rely on modern technology to traverse lightless oceans. However, I was surprised to learn that mariners in some parts of the world still look towards brick beacons for navigational aid. In the summer of 2020, I seized the opportunity to work in a peaceful, secluded place. I wasn't precious about job opportunities in a world that had stopped working. I had been running for a long time. Nothing frightened me about being far from the rest of humanity. A lighthouse in the middle of the ocean felt no different from a flat in the middle of the city. Everywhere was quiet without Rachel. "Sorry about this," I shouted as I entered the ferry's cabin.
"Sorry about what?"
the captain yelled in response. "The choppy conditions," I said, closing the door behind me. I nodded at the lapping waves, which gnawed at the hull of the small but sturdy vessel. And then I raised an eyebrow at Captain Thompson, the man in charge. I was baffled by his nonchalant reaction to the vicious weather. To my untrained eyes, it had been a grueling 30-mile voyage. I was grateful, as Thompson's boat was the only option for transportation to the distant lighthouse.
"This isn't bad weather, son. The water's always rough," the captain chuckled. "I was only worried about making the journey in the dark."
I nodded apologetically. "Well, I'm definitely sorry about that. I tried to get to the port sooner, but the traffic out of the city was a nightmare."
"Not your fault," the captain said. "And you won't have to worry about things like that for the next 2 months. No traffic out here, no people, nothing. Just you and your thoughts."
"Do you speak from experience?" I asked. The man shook his head.
"No, I've just seen the poor souls who left that place. The caretaker seemed particularly rattled last month. He said he had seen and heard things in that old building. Spirits, voices. Hope you don't believe in any of that talk."
I smiled, not even slightly deterred by the captain's ominous tone. It seemed a little cliche for an old weathered seafarer to caution an outsider. Still, I didn't want to spoil the man's fun. I didn't imagine the job of a sailor in a sleepy coastal town would be that riveting.
"What do you think?"
the captain asked, nodding his head at the island.
"It's a little clearer now. Change your mind?"
Atop a scurry which seemed far larger in photographs, there rose a colossal tower. Its white, glaring eyes surveyed the sea with a steady rotation, blinding us when it caught the ship in its gaze. The tower itself was nothing but a black monolith, its features hardly visible at the edge of night. And my mind started to fill in the gaps. started to imagine the horrors that might be concealed within that place. As the sky darkened, Thompson's ghost story began to weigh more heavily on my mind. That was why I doubted myself when, for a moment, I saw a silhouette in the tower's light room. After the blinding glow passed, and I lowered the arm shielding my eyes, the shape was gone.
"You all right, Caleb?"
the captain asked, frowning at my pale expression. "Yeah, I'm fine," I muttered. The man paused before nodding knowingly.
"I've seen that look before. Most folk wear it after staying on the island. Who knows what things have happened in that tower? You need to have a good think about this. You sure you want the job, boy?"
I shrugged. "Don't exactly have options."
"We all have options," the man said.
We didn't talk for the brief final leg of the trip, but minutes later, we shored, and the uncomfortable silence ended. The captain started to knot a fraying, untrustworthy mooring line around the dock's bollard. I didn't like the groan that the ship unleashed as a determined wave sought to undock us.
"One last time," the captain said. "I don't mind taking you back, and don't worry about abandoning your post. The LLA will give you a slap on the wrist for breaching the employment contract. Then they'll find a replacement in a heartbeat. You won't get in any trouble. They're all softies."
"I really don't look fit for the job, huh?" I chuckled. "I appreciate the suggestion, Captain, but I'm not worried about a black mark on my CV. I'm worried about not being able to pay the bills." The captain sighed. I picked up my bags, steadied myself on the rocking deck, and jumped over the edge of the ferry. As I landed, the soles of my trainers squeaked uncertainly against the slippery dock, and the captain grimaced. I nearly slipped and slid into the water. Thompson had the expression of a wary parent reluctantly sending their child away for the first day of school.
"Thanks, Captain," I shouted over the roaring weather.
"I'll be fine."
"Be sure to use the satellite phone in any emergency," he yelled in response. "No matter how big or small, okay?"
"Okay," I called, lifting a thumb of approval as I walked away. I felt the man's eyes boring into the back as I skated across the dock on inappropriate footwear. I heaved a sigh of relief when I reached the minuscule rock that would be my home for 8 weeks. But I was sure to walk gingerly. Slowly, I didn't want to face another round of inquiry from the sailor. He might have rushed me off the boat and forcibly dragged me back to the mainland. Of course, I wouldn't have allowed that. I needed the job. And I kept reminding myself of that as I scaled the steep, craggy rocks. I felt motivated, alive. More alive than I had felt in 3 years. But then a piercing shriek filled the air. Jolted out of my very body, I stumbled forwards. My knees connected with a jagged rock, shredding my jeans, and I cried in pain. Acting on survival instinct, however, I swiftly picked up my bags and my wounded body, wincing at my stinging legs. When I looked down, I saw blood staining the fresh tears in my jeans.
"Please,"
the shrieking voice pleaded. Gripped by a feeling of dread, I eyed the lighthouse's door, only 20 yards away. And I mustered my remaining courage, steadily treading across the uneven limestone beneath my feet. Shoulder first, I charged into the door and it gave way. Panting heavily, I immediately dumped the bags onto the floor of the darkened entryway. and I ran to the fuse box. It was on the left of the door, as the captain promised. And I quickly turned on every light in the building, pausing to frown at the sound of a groan from the basement storage area. Old machinery awakening, I supposed. But my mind was elsewhere. It was fixed on whatever I had heard outside. Satisfied by the warm...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7-9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Hello, with the lighthouse. I felt a little braver, felt a little more civilized, less like a man stranded in the Atlantic Ocean with an unknown cohabitant. Then I walked outside and inhaled shakily.
"Hello?"
I shouted.
"Who's there?"
But nobody answered. I called repeatedly and searched the island. Nothing. No one. And after an hour without luck, I chose to believe that I had imagined the voice. The shrill wail of the sea breeze sounds like a human voice to a frail, lonely mind on a forgotten rock. I ignored the fact that I had heard it within moments of reaching the island. Instead, I made dinner and went to bed. For the first few weeks, all seemed well. I carried out my duties, maintaining the building and submitting weather data via satellite phone. I forgot all about the strangeness of the first night, and I would have likely never thought of it again, but the sound returned. On a night just as ferocious as the first, a voice called out outside my window. It woke me from my sleep. "Not this again," I told myself angrily. "It's all in my head. I'm just lonely."
"Please,"
a voice shrieked. A tone that sent hairs ablaze and automatically jolted my body from bed. Dressed in joggers, slippers, and a thin t-shirt, I bounded down the stairs. Face sweating, heart hammering. 1,000 questions cluttered my alert, pulsating brain. If the woman had always been real, where had she been hiding for 3 weeks? As I turned on the light in the darkened entryway, my busy mind distracted me from the slight movement in the ajar door to the basement. The door I was certain I had closed. And when I slapped my attention to it, 2 yellow lights rapidly extinguished. My entire body twitched fearfully. I raced to the door, every organ tensing in fright, but there was nothing to be found. Only ancient steps leading down to the lighthouse's storage space. I closed the basement door and returned my attention to the matter at hand. I doubted my imaginative eyes, but I was struggling to doubt my ears. I had clearly heard a voice outside. Unlocking the entry to my fortress, I attempted to steady my heart rate. I didn't want to let the captain's warning affect my mind, but it was too late for that. My thoughts were becoming increasingly superstitious, and the more I hesitated, the harder it became to do the brave thing. I threw the door open. It was a bitter, biting night. The wind furiously whistled, and I convinced myself that, once again, I had loneliness playing tricks on me. After all of that, it was only the breeze, just like the first night. But then I felt something, sensed something, and I became aware of movement in my peripheral vision. I slowly turned to the left and screamed. A woman with a tear-strewn face was limping towards me. Lit by the building's exterior bulb, a young lady emerged with frazzled hair and tattered attire. She wore a puffy coat and boot-cut low-rising jeans, which bore rips and bloody marks. Worst of all, her face was hauntingly emaciated. Unthinkably sickly, she was barely clinging to life.
"Who are you?"
the woman weakly asked.
"Me? I'm Caleb Fleck, the lightkeeper. Who are you?"
I retorted, pitifully attempting to sound authoritative.
"You're trespassing and..."
"No, I swam here from a shipwreck,"
she interrupted, coughing.
"When I saw your boat approaching, I prayed you would be able to help. Are you able to help?"
"Shipwreck?" I asked, staring into the night. "Where?" The woman looked at the ocean.
I don't know. We saw the lighthouse and swam."
"We?" I interjected. Her face paled, and she started shivering.
"It's not safe here. You need the phone for help."
Still reeling from the shock of meeting a stranger on an isolated rock miles from civilization, I attempted to steady my breathing and process the event.
"How long have you been here?" I asked. "I don't know. I'm sorry. We ate some of the rations, but let's just get inside. He's getting worse,"
she said.
"Who?"
I repeated.
"Please,"
she moaned, peering into the lighthouse.
"I don't see him, but he's in there."
"The other survivor from the boat?" I asked. The woman paused, hesitating to answer.
"No, well, there was a survivor, but he's dead."
My eyes widened.
"What? You said..." "He's not the one in there, or at least, it's not him anymore,"
she whispered.
"Of course, he was always this way underneath."
I was struggling to untangle this lady's riddles. "I'll call for help, and we'll get to the bottom of what happened. What's your name?" I asked.
"My name is Elsie Artell, and I'm telling the truth,"
she tearfully insisted.
"I'd really like to come inside now, Mr. Fleck. I know I'm trespassing, but it's cold outside. Please."
"Fine," I nodded uneasily. "But go first, Mrs. Artell, and I'll follow you." Elsie nodded dejectedly, hobbling into the well-lit entryway. I hurriedly shut the door behind us, glad to be free from the howling elements of the outer world, though I quickly felt more frightened of what I locked inside with me. "Upstairs," I said when the woman looked at me for direction. She nodded and led the way, turning on lights as we climbed the floors. First to the kitchen, then to the bathroom, and finally up the ladder to the light room. I began to rummage through the desk drawers, shaky hands becoming more agitated as I searched for the satellite phone.
"Are you okay?"
Elsie asked feebly.
"Is it there?" I sighed, shaking my head.
Where is it, Miss Artel? Where did you move it?
I didn't move it. Oh no.
She gulped.
He took it. Took it to the storage room.
Right. He took it. Let's go downstairs then. I sighed, tiring of what I believed to be lies.
Elsie's eyes widened. No, not there.
Don't you want me to call the mainland? I asked.
You won't be in any trouble, I promise. They'll understand your situation. I'm not mad at you for hiding the phone.
Elsie clutched my arm as I began the walk towards the stairs.
Please.
What's wrong? I asked, trying to tug my arm free.
That's where he lives, she whispered.
I groaned.
I don't understand. Alive, dead, which is he?
He's dead, Elsie whispered, eyes darting around the room as if something might hear.
But he didn't stay dead.
At that moment, I finally processed the thought that had been rattling around in my head since I first saw the woman.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
She was mentally unwell. That didn't explain everything, however. It didn't explain how an unstable person had ended up in the middle of the ocean. I assumed that one part of her story had been true. She had survived some sort of boating accident. And if she had been there for months on her own, it would make sense that she had become detached from reality.
I'm going to the basement, I said. We're not living like this for 2 months, and that phone is the only form of escape.
I know, she wept, nodding. I called to you before the boat left, but then I was too scared to approach you. It's my fault. If I'd come out of hiding before the captain left, none of this would have happened.
I sighed, placing a tentative palm on the woman's hand.
It's okay, Elsie. You can't change what's been done.
I wish I could, she sobbed.
Listen, I said, leading the woman towards the stairs. I feel compelled to ask, where have you been hiding for the past few weeks? Have you been living outside? The woman paused on a step, thinking for a long moment before walking again.
In the old maintenance shed. There are some blankets in there, and I've been slipping into the lighthouse to grab food while you're asleep.
Flipping heck, I said. You were too afraid to approach me?
I'm always afraid, she said. That's how I ended up here.
What do you mean? I asked as we approached the kitchen.
My husband, Elsie answered. He wasn't a good man. I never wanted to be on that ship with him. He wanted us to take a romantic trip on his sailboat. It was a chance to recharge, reset. He said he had just been stressed from work. He said he never meant to hit me. But he did it so many times over so many years. Too many years.
My head dropped, and I shuffled my feet.
Sorry, Elsie. That's awful, and I hate to ask this, but your story doesn't quite make sense, so I must...
What happened to your husband? Is he really dead?
Elsie sniffled, swerving the question.
We didn't know what to do when we got here. We were just grateful that we didn't drown.
And when we found the food in the kitchen, Sebastian said everything would be okay. And it was okay for a couple of weeks. But then I pointed out that the food wouldn't last forever, and he got mad. Said I never appreciated what was right in front of me. That was when he revealed he had found the satellite phone on the first night, but he wanted us to enjoy ourselves first.
Jeezo, I whispered.
Elsie nodded. I got mad. It was a knee-jerk reaction. Stupid. I should have known better. It never went well whenever I stepped out of line. And this time was no different. Sebastian started to choke me. I couldn't breathe. And then we were on the balcony and... I don't know. It's okay, Elsie, I said, placing a hand on her shoulder. Did I push him? Did he fall? The woman trembled. All I know is that he died. It was all over. But then his body wasn't on the rocks anymore. I thought he had been taken by the sea until I started hearing things. Sounds from the basement. And when I went down there, I found him. His rotting body was in the storeroom, and it was moving. He was a walking corpse, walking and talking, whispering to something in the corner of the room, something that told him he needed to free himself of this shackles, something... Elsie, I interrupted. Take a breath. You've been here a long time, and you've endured something horrible. But it's made you ill, mentally, okay? Sebastian's dead. He's not in the basement. He's made a deal with something, Caleb, the woman said. It brought him back, bound him to this place, and told what he had to do to leave. Elsie, I don't want to talk about this, I said, heading towards the staircase. I want to find the phone and get you some medical help. I know I'm not well, she replied, tapping her head. But I'm not lying to you. I believe that you believe that, I said. But your husband isn't a living corpse. Listen to what you're saying, Elsie. You've been seeing things, and I don't blame you. However, this is too trauma for me to unpack. Please, let me get help. The young woman reminded me of my late wife, but she also reminded me of myself. A terrible event had splintered her very soul and muddied her view of the real world. Elsie had isolated herself spiritually long before Sebastian isolated her physically. And in the same way, I had been alone long before the pandemic waged war against mankind. I hadn't connected with people, truly connected with them, since Rachel died. When Elsie and I reached the entryway, she became incredibly agitated. Her hand gripped my arm a second time. Wait, she begged. I've changed my mind. It'll be another month until Captain Thompson returns, I said. Look, you don't do this meticulously, I know that, but I need the call for help. Don't you understand? I'm doing this for you, not me. And I'm telling you not to go in there, she whispered. For you, not me. I didn't listen. With a tentative push, I opened the storeroom's door. It revealed a stone staircase leading into darkness. The basement. And when I flipped the switch up and down several times, I realized that no light was appearing. The bulbs are burst down there, Elsie explained quietly. But that didn't deter me. I snatched a torch from the shelf in the entryway, much to the woman's disagreement and fear. No matter how many obstacles she put in my way, I pressed onwards. I still viewed Elsie as a sick woman suffering from severe psychosis. As I began to descend into the lighthouse's underbelly, I quickly noticed the squelching of my trainers against the steps. And at the bottom, a shallow pool of water filled the main hallway. "Was it like this when you arrived?" I asked. The woman shook her head tearfully. "Let's just find the phone and leave. It'll be in the main storage room on the desk. That's where Seb spent all of his time, reading. Reading some horrible book he found. Something that became an obsession for him. A book that showed him how to come back. I'm starting to think he might have intended to die." I nodded, and my forehead gained folds with every step. The pool and my feet only deepened. By the time we reached the main storage room, the water had risen to my knees. My legs were drenched and chilled to the bone. "I don't understand how it flooded down here," I asked. A sudden splash halted me, and my throat shrank. The shadow of a man danced at the far end of the room, partially concealed by boxes and tools on the shelving units.
"Elsie, who is down here?"
I shuddered.
"You said he was dead."
"He is dead," she cried.
Something seized my lower calf. And when I looked down, I saw disintegrating fingers in the water, clutching my leg. It tugged, toppling me like a loose domino, and Elsie screamed as I plunged into the water. Inexplicably,
the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
However, I entered an underwater realm far deeper than the shallow puddle. Below me, my decaying captor eyed me with yellow pupils. Pupils neither bright nor dim. The color not of our world, corrupting my soul. Whispering disturbing things to my tired, howling ears like a waterlogged vessel's. I wrestled with this sadistic being as my lungs bloated. And in my final moments of darkness, Sebastian's corpse wrapped one hand around my neck. A burst of blackness followed, and the creature unleashed a cry muted by the watery world. Suddenly, he released his grip, and my half-cautious form floated to the surface. As my vision returned slightly, I eyed the terrible, lifeless body with black matter spilling from it, sinking into the depths of the unnatural underworld. When I reached the surface, Elsie's hands pulled me to safety, and I was back in the shallow pool of the storage room. The terrifying underwater realm had vanished. Sebastian's corpse floated on the surface of the water, but it was still. A dreadful sight, but a human one. While Elsie wailed in terror at the situation, I clutched my swollen neck. My fingers met the necklace I had always wore. The one Rachel left behind. It contained a piece of us. I don't know how, but that jewelry saved me. For the first time in the 3 years she had been gone, I felt Rachel's presence. I realized I had never been alone. Not really. Not even on a desolate rock miles from the rest of the world.
"Caleb?" Elsie sobbed. "Are you...
okay.
I shook my head. No.
Are you? No.
She sniffled before smiling.
But I'm not... not okay.
I almost mustered a chuckle. And we embraced. Two lonesome souls who healed as much as they were capable of healing. Though neither of us had fully understood the pain of the other, we knew what it meant to be alone, even when surrounded by people, and in that way, we were kindred spirits. I stumbled around the shelves, wading through water towards the desk at the far side of the room, and the satellite phone was sitting there, as she had promised, but no book. The emergency call was swift. Captain Thompson was horrified by my story, but he didn't question it. The man set sail, and we waited for his arrival. Leaning against the balcony's barrier, we watched the sun rise from the top floor. I lied, Elsie eventually said. I shook my head. No, I was wrong. I'm sorry for doubting you. Your story just... I still don't understand what I saw. The woman looked at me, eyes welling. Then she nodded over the barrier. Look down, Caleb. I was puzzled, but I obliged. And when I looked at the foot of the tower, vomit rose to the top of my throat. Strewn across the blood-stained rocks were Elsie's clothes, the same thick coat and boot-cut jeans worn by the woman standing beside me, and the clothes on the rocks were worn by a dusty mound of nothingness, a pile of decay that used to be Elsie. I fell and died too, she whispered. And I woke up right here, staring down at my own body. I don't know why I hadn't left this place, until I realized what Sebastian had done to stay in this world of the living. I was kept here for a reason. It was to stop him from taking your body, stop him from ever leaving the lighthouse. Elsie, I started tearfully. The specter smiled, starting to glisten in the red hue of the dawning sun. It's okay, Caleb, she said. Thank you. You did what I never managed to do. You rid the world of that monster. I feel free. For the first time in a long time. I'm ready now, Caleb. And so are you. I looked down. I'm not ready, Elsie. I gave up a long time ago. I don't believe that, she whispered. It's not over for you yet. Do what I didn't. Don't live alone anymore. It's killing you. The world isn't the way you remember, Elsie, I explained. People are sick. We all live in isolation now. She placed a spectral hand on my arm. Were you alone before that, Caleb? I think you were. And I don't think that you want to be alone forever. Why else are you still here?
Hey!
A voice called from 100 yards out at sea. My eyes shot to the source of the sound, and I saw Captain Thompson's ferry traversing the rough waters at immense speed, approaching under the day's first light. I'm so sorry, Elsie, I sobbed. I'm so... But when I turned, the dead woman was gone. All that remained of her was a mound of attire on the rocks below. I somberly packed my things and made my way to the dock. And when I reached Thompson's ferry, I expected questions. Questions about the girl I had found, the girl we were supposed to save. But the captain was strangely silent on the journey back to shore. He only said one thing.
I saw the girl on the balcony, Caleb, he whispered. She was there, and then she...
Captain Thompson didn't finish the sentence, and I offered the man a nod. A nod that told him the caretaker's story had been true. But then I wondered whether others found whatever book Sebastian found. After all, somebody had to leave it there for him to find. I started the fear for the other things may haunt the Scurry. And as we sailed away, I took one last look at the lighthouse. It appeared empty, but I didn't trust my eyes. I was afraid. Afraid that at any moment, I might see a silhouette in the light room.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.